Welcome. Imagine that you're in Paris, but you don't realize you're in Paris. And so you walk up to someone and you say, where's Paris? And they say, oh, head east 26,000 miles and you'll get to Paris. Or you walk up to someone else and you say, well, I want to go to Paris. How do I get there? And they say, oh, meditate for 10 or 20 years and then you'll get to Paris. Or you go to someone else and you say, well, you know, where's Paris? I really want to go there. And they say, well, you know, if you are a really good person, then you'll be able to get to Paris. Well, you know, we already are who we are. That's the point. And if we want to, if we're in Paris and we want to know we're in Paris, we want to be talking to someone who will reassure us that we're already in Paris, not try to make us believe that we have to get, do all kinds of things to get to where we already are. So that's what this is about here. We already are who we are, and all that we are is a holy, positive, basic space that is entirely aware. And this awareness that is vast as infinite space is pivotal. That's pivotal. That is what we can rely on about ourselves. We've never had anything that we've been, like a personal identity, or an ego, or a psychology, or anything like that. All those are simply points of view that arise within this holy, positive, basic space that is entirely aware. And all those points of view, no matter what they are entirely equal, in that they're all awareness. They've never been anything other than awareness. So one thing we can say about any point of view, whatever it is that its origin is awareness. Thus, its essence is awareness. And even though it may have a vivid appearance, that appearance has no substance or origin of its own. It has no beingness of its own. It has no nature of its own. Its only essence is awareness. So all points of view, no matter what they are, they're like a mirage. I don't know if anyone here has ever taken hallucinogenics, but other than points of view. But you know, when I've not taken hallucinogenics myself, other than points of view, but when I've heard that there are all kinds of incredible appearances, and they seem so real, they're so vivid, they're so absolutely convincing. So all points of view, no matter what they are no different than any hallucination, illusion, mirage, rainbow in the sky. No matter what these things are, all points of view are like the pure space that is the true essence of an illusion, a mirage, an hallucination. All of these things, no matter what they are, they appear to have many wondrous elements, but if we try to grab onto them, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. All there is this vast expanse of infinite space that is our own awareness. So just imagine again, you know, have the imagining that ends all imagination. Mingle your awareness with the vast expanse of infinite space and then try to form letters and words out of that pure space. Whatever letters and words that you try to form out of pure space, they're all still pure space. No matter how vivid their appearance may be as a this or a that or any word at all in the dictionary, all they are is pure space. So this basic space that is entirely aware is what our true nature is. We've never been wrapped up in a point of view. So you see, we're already in Paris. and enjoying it thoroughly. When we take ourselves to be a point of view, then immediately we are trying to convince ourselves that we have a personal identity. And any life that is an attempt to convince ourselves that we are a personal identity in any way, shape, or form is a life that is filled with alternating pain and suffering. There are peaks of happiness, and whenever we're at that peak of happiness, we think, oh, I'm going to be happy forever. And then all of a sudden, the roller coaster dips down, and then back up, and then dips down. And so as long as we take ourselves to have a personal identity that is other than the basic space of pure awareness, as long as we take ourselves to have a personal identity, we have an obsession with a self that doesn't exist. It's like having an obsession with a mirage and over and over and over again trying to prove that it does exist, and all the while it's only pure space. So when we have an obsession with a point of view called a personal identity, then we imagine all kinds of characteristics of that personal identity. And we get all caught up in believing in all those points of view about a personal identity. And they're all based on different characteristics about what that personal identity is, like thoughts, emotional states, memories, accumulation of memories, accumulation of good thoughts, and diminishing of negative thoughts, accumulation of positive mental emotional states, and diminishing negative emotional states. So we're trying to work with all the elements of a mirage in order to make it into something, when all the while it's nothing but pure space. So to understand ourselves only to be that, only to be a personal identity with all kinds of characteristics, is extremely limiting, because no matter who we take ourselves to be, the essence of whatever we take ourselves to be is awareness only. And that awareness is inseparable from points of view, just as the color of our eyes are inseparable from our eyes. So there's no way to separate out the two. When we take ourselves to be only a personal identity, we spend our entire lifetime involved with an obsession with self. And this obsession with self doesn't only exist as something that's non-spiritual, so to speak, running around and not knowing that meditation ever existed or some such state, but it also includes many, many things like meditation. As long as there is this obsessive focus on trying to get the personal identity of a self reshaped or formed in order to know it's already in Paris, then it's a dead end. You know, it's like 26,000 miles that way. Meditate forever to realize who you are, when all the while, the only source of who we are is rooted in our awareness. And that awareness is the immediacy of every perception. So it's not separate from perception. There's no awakening or enlightenment that's separate or apart from every perception that arises. So no matter what the perception is, emotional states, thoughts, sensations, memories, whatever it is, our own personal identity, every single one of those perceptions has as its origin awareness. The perception would not be without awareness. And rather than there being the perception and awareness, in other words, an observer observing something, there's only awareness as the perception. So to realize that is very straightforward. It can only be realized by resting naturally, resting freely, naturally, in an entirely uncontrived way, as the immediacy of every perception, no matter what it is. The vivid appearance that has no essence or substantiality other than awareness. And as that, we come to a complete understanding of who we really are. A complete understanding that does not need to exclude anything. So it's not some kind of dissociation from emotions or thoughts or anything at all. There's no extreme whatsoever adopted, no context or frame of reference adopted. We simply rest as pure space. We rest as the basic space that is the true reality of all phenomenon. And as we do so, something incredible unfolds that we realize has always been the case. In other words, we've already been in Paris all the while. But we just never realized that we were there. You know, we hadn't talked to the right person who said, hey, kick back, you're already in Paris. You know, everything's okay, relax, just relax. You're already in Paris. See, there's the Eiffel Tower. I can prove you're in Paris. There's the Louvre. And oh, the Mona Lisa. We all know the Mona Lisa's in Paris. So you see, we want to hook up, we want to connect with someone who can reassure us we're already in Paris, rather than say, well, you know, if you twist your body into hundreds of different postures and meditate and douse yourself with pain or whatever it is, then you're going to realize who you are. So you see, the reality of who we are is direct and straightforward. It's never required anything. How could what we already are require that we be involved in all kinds of things in order to be that? Doesn't make sense, does it? So, you know, you may ask where I came up with this philosophy. Well, all I have to share with you is my own experience. And I was raised as a Roman Catholic. I was raised primarily in the United States and also in Bermuda. And I was never really exposed to anything other than Western culture when I was growing up. As a Catholic, I was told to pray but not to meditate, that meditation was the way of the devil. So, you know, I never really tried that because I really didn't want to go the way of the devil. And, you know, all the while I thought, well, you know, what is all this they're talking about? It seems like the essence of everything is love, but I'll kind of go along with it and see how it pans out. But, you know, the more that I tried to fit myself within some kind of realm of meritorious actions, in other words, being a good person, trying to act like a saint but never really living up to it, and, you know, trying to control my thoughts, trying to control my emotional states, And Catholicism, we're really good at that because when we're very young, we're taught to examine our conscience, which means you keep track of everything going on inside basic space. So all the thoughts, all the feelings, all the actions, and you get really well acquainted with what all those are. So I was really good at that. I knew how to keep track of all my wrongdoing and right doing and try to foster the right doing and diminish the wrongdoing. But no matter how I tried to rearrange all of this stuff, it never led to satisfaction and fulfillment. So by the time I'd reached my late 20s, it just seemed like all of this had availed me absolutely nothing, even though I had achieved success in the world and that sort of thing. I still felt incomplete. I felt incomplete, and I didn't really know what to do about it. Everything I had learned about philosophy didn't seem to help. Psychology didn't seem to help. I'd never been to a guru or meditated or anything like that. Didn't even know it existed. Didn't even know any state called enlightenment or reality called enlightenment existed. I had no idea there was any kind of true relief other than doing. No idea whatsoever. And so when all of these strategies I'd tried didn't work any longer, I felt completely hopeless. I thought, well, what am I going to do? I've tried all these different approaches to being a good person and working things out and trying to make myself into an adult, but it never seemed to work. And then increasingly I had just a conundrum of all kinds of painful thoughts, all kinds of painful emotional states, with no way really to manage them. They just kept growing larger and larger and larger, like a tsunami that starts maybe as a 2-foot wave and builds up to a 10,000-foot wave. And I felt just overwhelmed by the sheer madness of all these countless goings on within me. Excuse me? Come in. Welcome. Please sit down. And in that, I suddenly realized that all of these points of view, all the thoughts, all the sensations, all the emotional states, that all of them had the same basis, exactly the same basis. I didn't really even know what to call it. I just knew that when I rested as that, I felt total relief. I felt total relief. I wasn't separating myself out from anything that was going on, but rather I found the relief within it. So I wasn't entering a special state where nothing else existed, like no self, no thought, a non-conceptual state. It was simply utter relaxation as the essence of whatever was arising. And in that, the vivid appearance was evident, but the understanding and the realization of its true reality was paramount. And so I really committed myself to that because I saw no other way out. But you know, also I wasn't seeking anything. I wasn't headed towards a destination. There was just this reality of complete relief and utter relaxation as the immediacy of every perception, so inseparable from every perception. And after resting in that way, being totally at ease rather than all my endless doing, after 10 days, that was just the reality of everything that is for me. So what happened really was that nothing happened. I realized who I'd always been and realized that I'd never been anything other than that, realized that I'd always lived in Paris and had been enjoying it completely, but that just through this slight shift in the way that I perceived everything, I had taken myself to be a personal identity, and then I had imagined the fearful consequences of all these characteristics associated with a personal identity. It wasn't that I felt suddenly cut off from any kind of personal identity. I just realized the true nature of personal identity. So there's nothing to be changed. You know, I didn't need to change anything. I didn't need to take all of my negative points of view and put them in a safe. I didn't need to try to get more positive points of view. I didn't need to try to diminish all of my negative emotional states or encourage positive emotional states. I simply realized the true reality of each of those points of view. That's it. So nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be done. All points of view, no matter what they are already free as the impeccably pristine reality of basic space. All the points of view, no matter what they arise, abide, and dissipate simultaneously in, of, as, and through that basic space. They're the luster of basic space and nothing else. Just like we wouldn't say that the sun's rays are separate from the sun, so we can't possibly say that these points of view are separate from our own awareness. This is a very pivotal understanding about who we are, that nothing needs to be changed. It's a key point that must be understood. it must be understood that all points of view, no matter what they are included and contained within our awareness, within the basic space of our awareness. And all these points of view, no matter what they are the luster of that basic space of awareness and nothing else. They don't need to be changed or made into anything else. If we fashion together an alphabet made out of pure space, it's still pure space. No matter how we string those letters of the alphabet of pure space together into words, sentences, paragraphs, treatises, manifestos, Bibles, Bhagavad Gitas, no matter what it is, it's all still pure space. So that when we come down to the essence of who we are, that's all we can find, pure space, you know. So if we step out into pure space, what happens? It's only pure space. There's nothing that needs to be done. If we contrive strategies of doing in order to get to who we already are, then we're on a detour. It's just more support of a personal identity to endlessly try to fashion something to prove to ourselves that we already are who we are. Just like going up to someone, if we were in Paris, we really would not want to connect with someone who was going to tell us we had to do a lot of work to get there. We wouldn't want that to happen at all. And if we did hook up with someone like that, we'd want a friend to say, hey, why are you talking to that person? You're already here. You already are who you are. So all that we are is the basic space of awareness and nothing else. Nothing need be done. Nothing need be said. In fact, you don't even have to rest naturally. If you just keep coming here, if you're not already convinced, if you just keep showing up in this space, you will be convinced. And it's not going to take you decades either. My planned obsolescence is my approach to what I do. I'm making myself obsolete. The reality of who we are is so direct, so entirely uncontrived, so totally free already, so naturally occurring, so absolutely spontaneous and present, that it's very quick. What's already accomplished is very quick. It doesn't require turning 10,000 somersaults or standing on your head for 10 days or anything else. You already are who you are. How could all of those things lead you more to who you are? It's just like, well, you wouldn't feel that you had to meditate for 10 years to prove that you have skin covering your skeletal frame. It's that obvious. But you know, this is even more obvious. This is even more obvious because things like being aware that there is skin covering a skeletal frame, that's all rooted in awareness. So you see, every experience we have, awareness is the constant. Awareness is the constant. Awareness is the constant. And to think even something like that this is the province of spirituality or religion or philosophy or psychology or science or whatever, all this is unnecessary, really. In one word, it's nonsense. Awareness, the commonality, the common frame of reference, the common denominator for awareness is human beings. You know, we don't have to hole up inside of some kind of spiritual or religious construct or any other kind of construct. We just simply realize the basic space of our own awareness, and then we share that with other people. We say, hey, you're already in Paris. You're already in Paris. Guess what? You're already in Paris. It's that simple. And you know, I'm not talking about some kind of extreme of awareness is something that is just freedom from mental concepts. That's just an anomaly of point of view, kind of a nice place to hang out, sort of like finding an oasis. In other words, you know, if that's a mirage. If we see an oasis and it's a mirage, the it's a mirage. There's nothing there. So, you know, we already are who we are. And when we just simply allow ourselves to rest as that basic space of awareness, we realize that all these points of view, no matter what they are included and contained within awareness, and that that awareness is a single expanse of evenness and equalness. It's a single blissful expanse. In other words, it's a single expanse of unremitting joy. When we realize that the essence of every single one of our points of view is our own awareness, increasingly we feel completely at ease. We feel a sense of utter relaxation, but this isn't a relaxation of passivity. The more we rest totally and completely as the basic space of our awareness, the more we enter the realm where we already live, which is this realm I call no more learning. You see, as we already include and contain all points of view, who would learn what? What have we ever needed to learn? Everything is already learned and it's already contained within us. So when we trick ourselves into believing we're learning something, it's just like a giant biofeedback loop. We're learning something we already know, so to speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is already contained within us, and when we simply rest as the essence of every perception, rather than as its label, rather than as taking ourselves to be that label, then we open up, we unleash an immense power and force that is the true reality of, I'll say it, the very scary word, omniscience. You know, the word everyone is afraid to use. But this omniscience, this reality of no more learning, is inseparable from who we are. It's entirely inseparable from our awareness. Just like the color of a ruby is inseparable from the gem. There's no way to separate it out. But if we spend our lives saying, oh, I'm this point of view, I'm that point of view, or I need to meditate to get enlightened, or I need to circumambulate this mountain or that mountain, or I'm in Paris, but somebody says, oh no, you have to go to India to get to Paris. You know what I mean? Well, constantly it's a wild goose chase. We spend our entire lives chasing rainbows when all the while what we are is, it's wherever we go, there we are. Wherever we go, there we are. We have no location. Our location is the vast expanse of infinite space. That is our location. We have nowhere to get to. And we have nowhere to get to, and there's no one going there. It's just like, as a personal identity is unborn, where would it dwell and where would it be destined to go? You see, we already are this basic space that is entirely complete in itself, and we can't realize that without just resting. Resting. That means when the perception comes up, whatever it is, rather than getting involved in its label as being something, just like the rainbow in the sky, you know, if a rainbow in the sky appears and we say, oh, there's the rainbow, I want to find the end of the rainbow, or I'm going to run after it. Is there a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? No matter if we jumped into the sky and we tried to grab the rainbow, there'd be nothing there. It's all pure space. So you see, if we get caught up in the label, whatever it is, we're on a wild goose chase. Has anyone ever tried to chase a wild goose? Or you know, in the US we have these things called 4-H fairs. Maybe they have these in other parts of the world too, where they have something called a greased pig contest. And people try to hold on to a greased pig, you know, grab a greased pig and hold on to it. Well, all points of view are like that. We can't even hold on to any of these points of view if we try. They're like a greased pig. Even if we take ourselves to be somebody, we never really buy into that. And when we just rest naturally as awareness and have this first pivotal realization that all points of view, no matter what they are, included and contained within us, then suddenly we start to have more and more really dramatic insights about the reality of who we are. We start to absolutely realize that every one of these points of view, no matter what it is empty, pure, and wholly positive. That every point of view, no matter what it is the vast expanse of basic space and nothing else. That every point of view that we've ever had in our entire lives, that we're having now, and that every point of view we'll have in the future, that it has never been, isn't now, and never will be anything but basic space. So, you know, one after another, we have these sublime realizations about who we are, and rather than the points of view that are swirling around always being about a personal identity and, oh, you know, I feel sad, or that one made me mad, or you know, what's my career, or how much money do I have in the bank, or does my hair look good, or, you know, instead of having all these kinds of things swirling around, our thoughts, our points of view, they're swirling around more and more. They're about basic space. You know, they're about the wonder of basic space, about the magical display, the magnificent display of basic space, that we've taken ourselves perhaps to be all of these labels, and suddenly we start to realize that all these labels we've taken ourselves to be, that they're poof. Poof, like David Copperfield. He's a magician, you know, poof. Everything disappears in pure space. We're the ultimate magician, basic space. All these points of view, no matter what they are, they're like greased pigs. And when we rest, we see, you know, we can't hold on to any of these things even if we try. The more we rest naturally, we realize, and this is a realization I had, I thought, wow, you know, I took myself to be an individual who, like some mornings, or I'd go to bed at night and I'd say I had a backache all day. Well, once I realized the true nature of my reality, I thought, wow, you know, I never had one day when every single point of view I had all day was, I have a backache, I have a backache, I have a backache. It's impossible to maintain any point of view like that. So you see, all these are assumptions that are arrived at the end of the day, maybe at the most 20 times during the day I had a point of view, I have a backache, but I added them all up together in some kind of weird equation and said at the end of the day, I had a backache all day. So you see, the more we just rest as this basic space that includes and contains all points of view, the more we really realize what's going on. You know, we've never been fooled. We've always been this basic space, and it really is humorous. It really is humorous that at least I've found it so, that I just spent so much time all wrapped up in all this stuff. But it was just, you know, what I learned. All these points of view were swirling around, countless, ceaseless points of view, and I decided to take some of them and put them in a corral and call them me. And then I'd put more and more points of view in the corral, and the corral of me. But, you know, who was aware of the corral of me all the while? That's the thing that's funny about it. Awareness is the monarch. Awareness is the great ruler. If you want to be royalty, you already are. Our very own awareness is the royal awareness. It's the royal awareness that is the master of all points of view. There's no point of view that can get awareness, that can overtake it, that can make it suffer, that can make it into anything other than it is. Basic space is basic space. It's just basic space that is entirely aware, never affected by anything. All points of view, no matter what they are the essence of basic space and nothing else. There's no point of view that's anything like this little petal on a flower that has its own boundary or perimeter, and It's holed up in there, nice and safe, being a something. Every point of view, no matter what it is the entirety of basic space and nothing else. You see, basic space doesn't come together and separate into points of view. It's never been fragmented, split, divided in any way. It's basic space and nothing else. So no point of view has ever had a boundary, a contraction, a constriction, an identification, a fixation. All these are just more points of view. If we go to someone and we say, well, you know, I want to realize who I am. I want to realize awareness, my true nature. I want to be enlightened or whatever it is. And that someone says, well, you know, your problem is you have an identity and it needs to be dissolved, or you have an I and it needs to be annihilated. Well, you know, that's dualistic. That's not non-duality. Non-duality means indivisible, indivisible basic space with nothing going on. So you see any of these things like an I, that's just another point of view. It's equal to the slippery pig. It's equal to a dog or a cat or a cell phone or any other point of view. There's no special point of view called an I or an identity that's like the mainframe computer of all the other points of view. There are just all these points of view that are absolutely equal and even in being nothing other than the basic space of awareness. Yeah, that's all I have to say. The same old broken record. Rewind, rewind, rewind. Are there any questions? Anything you'd like me to disprove for you? Any painful emotional states or calamities going on in your life? Or anything you're taking yourself to be that we can erase into basic space? What is your name?
Edmund.
Hello, Edmund.
All the, we speak about point of view all the time. We're living in a body which is very strong point of view. Mm-hmm. And it really likes to hold on to itself a lot. Its point of view, the body. So, especially when it comes to taking care of our body, like from day to day. So it's quite a contradiction dealing with living in the world, in the body, and with what you're talking about, this
thing. Is it?
Well, it appears to be.
It appears to be, yes. It appears to be. But what is more wonderful for our bodies than to be totally at ease? What could be more wonderful than that? Can you think of anything? To be totally at ease no matter what's going on, you know, no matter what the point of view is that's swirling around, say it's illness or feeling uncomfortable or whatever it is. What could be more nurturing to our bodies than to be at ease no matter what's going on? Say we have some pains, either emotional or physical, or even a very severe pain, like we're dreadfully ill. What's going to help us more, to be totally obsessed with that point of view about what's going on with our body, or to be able to be totally at ease as that point of view occurs? We're not denying the point of view. or dissociating from it. We're acknowledging that whatever's going on with the body is there, the pain or the illness or whatever it is, seeking appropriate treatment, but all the while we're completely at ease. Oh, of course. Look at me. 24 years of basic space and nothing else. Oh, yes, it's a point of view, but yeah. It's definitely a point of view. It's totally a point of view. It's a basic space is unborn, and that's who we are, unborn. So what is unborn doesn't really have a dwelling place. It doesn't have a location where it exists during some kind of interim period between being unborn and being undead. Do you see what I mean? Being born, dying, the duration of a lifespan are all points of view and nothing else. What precedes birth and comes after death and is birth and is death is the basic space of awareness. So, you know, if we want to rely on something about our bodies that can sustain us through everything, we want to rely on that about us, which sustained us in being born into a human form and which will still be around after we croak, right? We want that about us that's totally constant, that we can rely on above all else, no matter what comes up. So what I suggest to you here is discern that you are absolutely free as the immediacy of every perception. No matter what that perception is that arises, it's entirely free as the basic space of your own awareness. From there, you can do whatever you want with it. But the more that you rest, knowing that you are this basic space, the more you will realize that in its totality. And as you do so, there will be an immense power and force that opens up as the reality of your being, in which many things are possible. Many unimaginable things are possible, including ways to take care of your body. So there's nothing excluded. You still like to eat desserts and have fun. Naturally occurring basic space doesn't leave anything out. It doesn't leave out one's own well-being or the well-being of anyone else. You see, this well-beingness of compassion and wisdom is naturally occurring. It doesn't need to be developed or cultivated. If we try to develop or cultivate it, then we'll just be trying to put together a new equation of points of view. But if we rest naturally, we find that immense wisdom and compassion are already present. They're just totally natural. They're the natural freedom of our own being. What could be kinder? Yeah. So, you know, when you come to this message of the basic space of awareness, it's for everyone. It's the birthright of everyone. Everyone already is basic space and nothing else. So if you're here and you're a serial killer, or you're here and you're the holiest person on earth, it doesn't matter. It's all the same basic space of awareness. So what I'm trying to point out here is don't ever think you're excluded for any reason. no matter what it is. And once again, I'm not suggesting immorality or some kind of passive irresponsibility where everything is equal, so do whatever you want. If that's occurring, then you've gone off track into some kind of point of view about what freedom is. What is naturally occurring is wholly positive. Basic space is wholly positive. It's never been anything else, in other words. No matter what its label is, it's wholly positive. Wholly positive in a sublime way. And that wholly positive nature is the source of compassion and wisdom. The source of complete compassion and wisdom. I'm not suggesting a neutral or impartial ground in which everything just happens spontaneously. That's nihilism, an extreme, that it's not wholly positive basic space. Just another point of view. Are you enjoying Paris? Any other questions?
It seems that there is a point too for the way he expresses. Paris is an infinite, ongoing, no? It's never ending.
Never ending.
Now I'm in Paris, now I can enjoy it. That's stopping something, no?
Oh, no. Basic space is definitely not a destination. It's not a destination. If you lived, say you lived for 50 trillion years, there would always be more. In every instant, more wonder of basic space. So it can't be exhausted, in other words. Yeah, and it's definitely not a destination. Something more?
Understanding of the basic space is coming through resting, or what my words are still meditation, because, or whatever resting I have, it's the same name, I call it the same name in a way, because still these things that most of them that you're saying, I already knew in small brackets, because. And sometimes I experienced that, but I kept getting lost in my life.
Yes.
So, I wonder why the world is falling apart and isn't so dark in a way, and it's so easy. I kept going lost, so it seems like most of the human beings are getting lost somehow, even if it's so easy. So there is something that is preventing whatever it is.
Well, that's a very good question, and also it's one that really gets to the heart of the matter. Your question really gets to the heart of the matter. Why is there so much seeming darkness and increasing darkness? And why is it that it's so difficult to realize who we already are? I have a very ready response to your question. And that is that All that has been missing is simple, direct instruction about realizing who we are. That's all. Just like the illustration I used of being in Paris. You walk up to a person, they say you're already in Paris, and they never say anything else. Never say anything else. They don't say you need to be fixed in order to be in Paris, or, and they show you exactly how to know, understand, and realize you're in Paris. That's what goes on here. So you see, this realization that I had 24 years ago, now I've shared that with many people, and I see that it is directly accessible for many people, not just for me. It's the reality of who each of us is, and just as I didn't have to go through all kinds of things in order to realize who I am, the same is the case for other people. So the answer to your question very specifically is that you never met the right teacher. That's it. That's it. It's as simple as that. Who you are is extremely direct. And you know, I sound sort of like I'm trying to sell something, don't I? But I'm not. Would anyone here who's come here and then realized who they are like to say something about it? Otherwise, I'm going to sound, you know, like I'm a snake oil salesman or something.
The right teacher thing. I met my teacher before you got enlightened, so I don't think it was the wrong teacher.
Pardon?
I met my teacher, who wasn't a teacher, was a master, before you became awakened or had your experience, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think I met the wrong teacher or master. Understand what I mean? Because you said, I think you met the wrong teacher.
No, I didn't say I think you meant the wrong teacher. What I'm saying is that who you are is directly accessible. And if you commit to that in the right circumstance, you will realize who you are. That's all I'm saying. I'm not making any comments on anybody. All I'm saying is who you are and who everyone is directly accessible and it can't be missed. And if a person is in the right circumstance and committed to it, in a very short time they'll realize who they are. It's as simple as that. Adrian?
Yeah, no, I can reiterate what you just said there. I'm naturally very cynical. I remember putting drawing pins down when I was 8 so that I could catch my dad being Santa Claus, which I always suspected. And it worked as well. So I came to Candace and I had my head was full of all these books that I'd read. There's no way you can become enlightened by any method or anything at all. Any steps that you take is the very thing that's going to stop you becoming enlightened, whatever that meant. So it's all out of your control. So So I came here and Candace said, if you just turn up, that's what she said, and things will start to happen. And I just didn't believe her. And that was only about 12 days ago. And within 3 days, all my questions pretty much had stopped. And I just feel great. I just can't describe it. And it was a bit of a, to start with, a slightly up and down, but it's always been more ups and downs. So I wouldn't for 1 minute say that, well, she would say that I am where I need to get to. I am in Paris, but maybe I'm in Lyon. So if you just turn up and don't believe any of it, it still works. And I don't know how. So that's all I can really say.
Thanks, Adrian. Thanks, Adrian. Mm-hmm. Other questions? Any doubts you'd like cleared up, or? Anything you'd like to have vanquished in the basic space? We'll sit quietly together for a few minutes.